Welcome back to the Edge Show, episode 49. And I'm here today with David to talk about a lot of exciting announcements because this is the week of System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 launch. And so really with Service Pack 1, this is where we've put together Windows Server 2012, SQL Server 2012, and then managed it with our broad management suite of System Center 2012 to release our vision of what we like to call the Cloud OS. And we're going to be talking a little more about this vision and the Cloud OS with our interviewer shortly, so stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, I believe we do have some new evals,
yep,
right?
Yep. I know that we now have the System Center 2012 SP1 eval. That's a new one that's out. You have heard some talks about that. We're going to be continuing to give you new information on SP1, but you can check out the evals for the System Center product, as well as SQL 2012 and Windows Server 2012, if you haven't already checked out those evals.
Great. And just released this week are two brand new courses for the Microsoft Virtual Academy. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the MVA by now, it's our free online training portal. And the courses that we've just released are System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 Updates and our VMware Compare and Comparison course. So with the Service Pack 1 updates, what we've essentially done is gone through all of the different System Center components from App Controller all the way to Virtual Machine Manager and talked about the new enhancements and the new capabilities in each of these separate individual components. The next course is our VMware Compare and Contrast course, which we call Microsoft Virtualization for VMware Professionals. During this course, we've basically broken it up into two separate parts, two separate modules, where the first part compares and contrasts our core hypervisor, Hyper-V, with the core VMware ESX platform, version 5.1. The second half looks at our cloud solutions, where we look at the Microsoft System Center suite and compare that to VMware's cloud management platform, looking at not only the technologies and the features, but also some of the cost comparisons, where you can see that Microsoft has the broadest and best platform that we really believe is out there for your data center and your cloud. And you can find these at www.microsoftvirtualacademy.com. And this actually leads us into several other events which are starting soon, known as our Jumpstart series. Actually, Derek, could you just give a quick overview of what exactly is a Jumpstart?
Sure, yeah. Jumpstarts are online training that have lots of interaction with the people that are presenting. So it's kind of like, you know, a virtual classroom where you're there and you're learning with the experts in that specific area, and you're getting good, you know, in-depth knowledge on the product, so that once you kind of go through that Jumpstart, you feel more prepared to work with that specific technology.
Right, and the three that we have coming up, first of all, we are doing a Hyper-V 101 Jumpstart. So if you're brand new to virtualization, or you've been using virtualization with another vendor, such as VMware or Citrix, this is the basics of virtualization from the ground up, looking at the networking, the storage, the management, and then moving to some more advanced topics, such as clustering, live migration, and then integration with Virtual Machine Manager and some of the other System Center components. And that's going to be offered January 24th, and you'll see a sign up at the bottom of this page. The second one we're doing about a week later on January 30th is going to be another compare and contrast to our VMware technologies. The first one I'm going to be joined by Jeff Woolsey. The second one I'm going to be joined by Matt McSpirit. And with the second one, we're going to be comparing again the core hypervisor platform, Hyper-V, to VMware ESXi. And then secondly, looking at our cloud solutions from both Microsoft with System Center and then VMware's cloud offering. And David, you're going to be covering the third one, right?
Well, yeah, you know, you're going to have back-to-back sessions there. So you attend on the 30th, you should just stay tuned for the next day, which is going to be my one on Windows Intune. So we've got 12 modules for the day, shorter modules. And we kind of break the first day into Intune only. So if you want to use just Windows Intune to manage your cloud services, perhaps you're a small, medium business that doesn't have any System Center Configuration Manager at all in your environment yet, and you want a great way to manage all of these different devices that you may have, such as this laptop.
Ooh,
fancy laptop here that I got, and phones, right, and all these things. And then the second half of the day would be a unified scenario, which is one of the new things with Windows Intune and System Center 2012 Configuration Manager, SP1. Oh, that's a mouthful. But yeah, we have that integration between the on-premise and the Windows Intune now, so we have a much better story, whereas previously you kind of had each of them in their own silos. We have an integration point now for kind of that hybrid scenario, as well as Windows Intune. We released a new version of Windows Intune, and if you haven't seen my episode from back in December on Unified Device Management, you might want to check that one out on that Ed show. But yeah, we have a lot of new capabilities there, managing Windows Phone 8, having direct management. Now you can wipe only part of the phone or device instead of having to use the sledgehammer of wiping the whole thing out. You can say just remove the corporate apps and leave all that personal data. So a lot of new features and capabilities. If you want to learn more about it, come check out the Windows Intune Jumpstart. And of course, we had that Windows Intune launch, so go ahead and check out more information about Windows Intune. Check out the trial of Windows Intune to learn more info there.
Great. And now back to the Cloud OS. I'm going to be bringing my guest, John, on shortly, and we're going to be talking about all the new features and new releases coming out with System Center 2012 Service Pack 1. Thanks, David. All right, we're back, and I'm here with John Allwright, and we're going to be talking about some of the new enhancements in System Center 2012 Service Pack 1. But first of all, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us what you do.
Sure, I'm John Allwright. I work in the product management team for System Center and Windows Server. Been at Microsoft for about 8 years, both at corporate and in the UK, working on a variety of products, including developer tools, designer tools, and platforms.
Great. Well, this is a very exciting week for us because we're finally launching System Center 2012 Service Pack 1. And as most of our customers out here know already, it now supports Windows Server 2012, SQL Server 2012, some of our developer tools like Visual Studio 2012. But what I think is most important is some of the more enhancements and integration that we've made with some of our cloud platforms, mm-hmm. as it's taken us kind of beyond the vision of just a private cloud to this vision of what we're calling the Cloud OS. Can you tell us a little more about this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first thing is this: SP1 actually delivers compatibility with Windows Server 2012, which I know a lot of customers have been waiting for, we've been waiting for, and really rounds off that kind of 2012 launch wave. But that leads us into the Cloud OS, which it's not a product, it's not an offering. It's really us putting out a vision for where the next few waves of Microsoft products, certainly in the data center, are going to go. And it has three homes. We spoke a lot about the private cloud, which is the ability to run applications, infrastructure in the data center. But Cloud OS really takes that and takes it out to hosters, to service providers, and to the public cloud, to Windows Azure. And what a lot of customers need when they're doing that is some consistency. So it's a guarantee from Microsoft in terms of consistency on identity, on virtualization, on developer tools. And management tools as well, across that whole Cloud OS.
Great. Well, one of the major features that I know that we've added here is our virtual networking capabilities. More specifically, this concept of what the industry is calling software-defined networking. Can you explain what that is and talk a little about that?
Sure. With Windows Server 2012, we introduced a couple of capabilities that within a single host give you the capability. So Hyper-V network virtualization enables you to define a virtual network in software. But as we all know, networks consist of many hosts. And traditionally, the network that supports those hosts involves physical switches, physical network infrastructure. So any change to that requires you to go and rewire the network. Now, with the dynamic nature of workloads and data centers these days, that really is an impediment to a lot of businesses. So you want to be able to have a much more dynamic way of changing that. And so software-defined networking is what it says on the tin. It's basically the ability to, from a console, to change your network without replugging and rewiring anything. So Windows Server 2012 gave us Hyper-V network virtualization, but the real magic here is with System Center 2012 SP1, giving you a view across many hosts. So once you know where virtual machines are being placed and the network topology, you can move a virtual machine between hosts dynamically. And a virtual machine manager within System Center will do all the hard work for you, the heavy lifting of kind of rewiring the virtual network. So it is almost like kind of magic. You've got a magical network guy doing all the replugging for you.
That's great. And one of my favorite enhancements as well is using the part of that Hyper-V extensible switch is now through Operations Manager. When we looked to the network before, we could only find those physical pieces of the network, the nodes, the networking cards, the hubs, the switches, the routers. But now that we've got this Hyper-V extensible switch, we can actually peek within a host and view all of the virtual networks within that host as well. So if you have a virtual machine which is disconnected from a virtual network, Operations Manager could detect that and raise this as an alert either directly through the administrator console or even through one of the network vicinity diagrams. So fully integrated with this networking throughout the entire stack and the suite of products. Now, next area people are excited about is this new, I guess it's kind of a reasonably new industry term called DevOps, which, tell us about it. Tell us, what exactly is DevOps and how can we use this?
So I used to be a developer, and my model of development was I would sit, code, and then my code was finished, and I would hand it to somebody else to go and put it into production, you know, over the wall, if you like. And with software as a service, the dynamic nature of business today, that's not how things are working. You know, I see developers walking around with pages, and that's really what I keep in mind when I think DevOps. It is that close link between the application that's running and the person that wrote the code. Something goes wrong, it does find its way very quickly back to the developer. And DevOps is the discipline of really trying to stop any finger pointing between operations and developers as to where the problem lies.
Right, a slow network. I mean, you know, a slow application. Is it the infrastructure guy's fault for a bad network? Is it the coder's fault for a slowly performing application?
Absolutely.
Everybody blames someone else.
So, but if you think about it, there are two things really. It's getting communication back to the developer that something has happened, and it's the context, giving them enough data to be able to figure out what the problem is. And so within Service Pack 1, we've done a couple of things. The first thing is to support a new service, a cloud-based service called Global Service Monitor.
GSM, right?
GSM, yeah. And this basically sits out in Azure and uses the CDN, the Azure CDN points of presence, and there are 15 of those around the world, to fire synthetic transactions at your web application. So if you've got a URL, you can basically test it. And it'll do that periodically. And based on the response, you get data back. It's actually sent back to Operations Manager on-premise, so you can see what the response time is of your application. And actually see, if you've got users in Australia and you're sitting in the UK, for example, you can see how that application is delivering, what service that application is delivering to your user in Australia.
Well, I mean, I know for many local IT shops where they only have a single data center, a single development center, they can't test their applications from around the world. So this really allows them to do that and then pull the data through a single location.
It does, and it allows you to build a 360-degree view of the application. So before we just look and say, well, the application runs on this server. Is the server up? The application must be fine. But obviously that's not the whole picture. But to tie that back to developer operations, we want to really build it back into the tools that the developer's using. So there's a couple of places we can do that. We talked about synthetic transactions being fired from GSM. Where do those transactions come from? Where do those tests come from? Well, developers create tests when they build applications. Why not reuse those? So we have the ability now to import the tests into Operations Manager and use those as the kind of source material for GSM.
Now, what happens if, you know, an application's performing slowly? There's a problem, an alert is raised. Mm-hmm. How do the developers find out about it?
So within our Visual Studio team, we have a fantastic application lifecycle management tool called Team Foundation Server. And it really is the database that drives all the developer project management and code check-in and all that kind of thing. So developers have work item queues that tells them what they should work on next. So we've integrated Operations Manager with Team Foundation Server and the work item queues. So at, when an alert is popped, it automatically gets put on the developer's work item queue. And that's, you know, that's what they're working from. The priority is there, and they can start work on it immediately. Wow. And it also has the detailed IntelliTrace information, so that they can see all the context of the error.
So as soon as there's a problem, it's automatically assigned to the developer.
Absolutely.
So we're essentially speeding up this back and forth handoff, and I guess hopefully making the life easier for our developers. They get their bugs reported quicker, and making life easier for our IT pros because they're not going down tracking bugs, collecting reports, things like that.
And
that's
so
all done automatically.
At the end of the day, it means a higher level of service availability because you're resolving problems quicker.
Great. Well, you talked a little bit about, you know, using Azure and combining that with our on-premise private cloud. And a lot of people use this terminology as the hybrid cloud. Could you tell us more about this hybrid cloud concept?
Yeah, I mean, hybrid cloud is really extending what you do in the data center today to hosters And to the public cloud. It fits very well with Cloud OS, and Cloud OS is basically a promise of consistency. You know, if you think about it, and you just try and cobble your own hybrid cloud together, you'll have the tools that you use to manage your private cloud within the data center, then you'll have a hosted control panel, then you might have the Windows Azure portal. And you know, you're managing the same type of resources, but in three different ways. So Cloud OS is giving you a layer across that. But hybrid cloud is really the concept of on-premise hoster and public cloud.
Okay, so let's see. I mean, I know we've added some new features in Service Pack 1. I know we've made a lot of improvements around backup with Data Protection Manager. Could you talk a little more about how that fits into this hybrid cloud model?
Yeah, so one application of hybrid cloud is backup, and it's looking at where you could actually store the backups for your data center. Now, if you're using DPM, that can be files, but it can also be virtual machine images. And so DPM currently can target storage devices, as you'd expect. And now we've added Windows Azure as one of those storage devices.
Great.
So with a very efficient kind of differential incremental backup process, you can keep those backups in the cloud. And that may be because you want to have some off-site backup, or it may just be that you don't have backup capabilities on-site.
Now, you talked a little bit about moving virtual machines to the cloud, that backing up virtual machines to the cloud. But I understand we've added some new enhancements around management of virtual machines with our on-premise and our public cloud services. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. So System Center 2012 already had the capability to manage, to start, stop Azure virtual machines, and also to monitor them with the management monitoring pack for Operations Manager. But we've added the capability into App Controller now to be able to move virtual machines. So this isn't a live migration, but it's the ability to see a virtual machine in App Controller and say, okay, that's running on one of my local hosts. Now I want to move that into Azure.
Wow. And now, what if we want to go and scale up beyond just our private cloud, beyond Windows Azure, and maybe integrate with our partners, our third parties, other hosters? Can you talk about some of the improvements we made in this area?
Yeah. So some of the changes we made in SP1 don't seem directly relevant to our enterprise customers. But what we've been working on is making System Center with Windows Server an interesting proposition for hosters. And the way we've done that is to build an API layer on top of System Center. We've called it Service Provider Foundation. And that gives them two options. One is they can use their custom portal to access the resources, so maybe virtual machine provisioning, and to expose that to their customers. But the other is that it directly plugs into App Controller on the customer site. So when an enterprise customer is building their hybrid cloud, within App Controller they can see private cloud hosts, virtual machines, they can see them on the hoster, and they can also see them in Windows Azure and move the workloads between all of those using the same tool.
Very nice. Well, I actually have a demo showing that, so let's go ahead and take a look at this. So as we switch over to the demo here, what I have open is System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 App Controller. And for those unfamiliar with App Controller, it's a web-based self-service portal that allows us to manage our virtual machines and our services for our private cloud, for our Windows Azure subscriptions, and recently added, Service Provider Foundation, working with our third parties. So as I take a look at my cloud here, you can actually see that I already have 3 Windows Azure subscriptions, 3 applications running on my private cloud, and then also my third-party hoster with Fabricam. And this SPF, you mentioned it was an application layer. What type of protocols do we use to go and communicate with
So this is simply an OData REST-based protocol.
So industry-standard protocol.
Industry standard,
pretty much anyone can use it, and they can tie in to App Controller. We can manage their cloud stack through this.
Absolutely, yeah.
Excellent. Well, let's take a look at what I already have running here. So I currently have, 1, 2, 3, 4 virtual machines running in my private cloud. I have 2 running in my Fabricam hosting, and I have 4 already running on Windows Azure. And one thing that we also want to talk about is this concept of a service. And you know, Microsoft, we had this vision of moving beyond virtualization, beyond managing just a single virtual machine. Because as we looked at enterprise applications, we realized it wasn't just a single virtual machine, right? It was a multi-tiered application. You'd often have a front-end web tier, back-end database tier, middle tier with maybe some business logic, some website hosting. And so we wanted to really be able to manage this as a single logical unit. So when you configure it, you deploy it, you monitor it, you operate it, you know, you can manage that as a single unit. Mm-hmm. And so what you see here is an example of this service that we deployed a little earlier our expense manager service that actually has two tiers with three virtual machines. It's already connected to a network, and we can monitor and manage this as a single unit.
You know, that becomes really important when you want to scale up a service, because you maybe have a ratio of 2-to-1 in the business logic to database tiers. So building those rules in is really, really important.
Absolutely. And, you know, another thing that, you know, I really want to emphasize is, since this is a web-based service, a website, you don't need to be managing the infrastructure. We could give our developers access to this. They just visit a website. We scope what services they can manage, what applications, what virtual machines, the amount of resources they could use, and then they could go deploy their own service. So this will save time for our developer. This will save time for our infrastructure specialist, because they no longer need to pick up the phone and make that request themselves.
Right, and the service is almost like a contract between the two sides, in that the infrastructure guy knows the developer's not going to do something horrendous and take down the data center.
Right, you know, we're not going to give our developer access to our virtual networks, right, our Hyper-V hosts, our storage. We really scope them and say, hey, you get this service, you could do X, Y, and Z with it.
Yeah.
Don't touch anything else.
That's it, yeah.
All right, well, let's actually now go ahead and take a look at how easy it is to go and deploy a service. So I'm going to go ahead and deploy a service with my third-party hoster. And configuring this is as easy as three steps. First, what cloud is this going? Second, what template are you using? And third, provide it with some unique information so that we can make sure that we're managing that specific service. So here I go ahead and I say configure my cloud. I could go deploy it on one of my private clouds, one of my Windows Azure subscriptions. But in this case, we're going to go ahead and use this new feature of Service Provider Foundation and go ahead and put it on our third-party hoster. Next, we get to select a template. And I'm going to select my basic Windows Server 2012 template, but I could select a Windows client template. I could select a Linux template from all of the various distributions that we now support. So a lot of flexibility here as well. Finally, I configure it by providing it with the unique information of the virtual machine name, so I know specifically which of those services I'm managing. I click Deploy. We can now see that this virtual machine deployment has started. As I click on my virtual machine, I now see that this new virtual machine, this new service that I've created, is now being deployed in my third-party hoster's environment. So this is, again, me not just managing this in my own data center, not managing this up in Windows Azure, but managing this in my third-party hoster. So a great way to show how really anyone in your organization could deploy any application at any time with any scale using a simple web interface. So We hope that you enjoy this. We hope that you certainly learn some of the new features coming out in Service Pack 1 as part of our launch wave. And I want to thank John for joining us on the show. But tell us, where can people go to learn more?
So the best place to go is the System Center homepage. So www.microsoft.com/systemcenter. And that has all the links to evaluations, to download the software, and to other resources that you're going to need.
Excellent. Thanks so much for your time. And go ahead to Microsoft.com/SystemCenter to get all these great resources. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Wow. That was a lot of great information on CloudOS. Obviously, there's a lot of different parts that come together to make that CloudOS, and some cool demos, too, on the hybrid cloud. So, you know, Azure being near and dear to my heart, I really like, you know, being able to have that flexibility in those VMs. And I'm thinking customers would probably like that, too, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see you next week. If you have any questions or comments, post them at the bottom of the page or send us a tweet at TNEdge. We'll see you soon.